It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels welcoming our friend Andrew Bird. Welcome to the station.
Thanks for having me.
And I might add, welcome to California, because as I understand, you've made your way and are now calling Los Angeles your residence.
That's right, yeah.
I have to ask, I believe it was a family-based decision that you just wanted to find a place where,
yeah,
a little space to play with your kid and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to be able to work at home and, you know, just, I don't know. I'm loving it so far.
Well, we're coming up on January and February, and having, like you, lived in Chicago. first February when you're here and not in Chicago, it's a big difference.
Yeah, I did 36 years in Chicago, and I'll always be from Chicago, but I've done my time.
Yeah. There's Chicago's the greatest city in the world between April and October.
Mm-hmm.
April or October can get you sometimes, though, so maybe we have to make it a little bit more like September to May.
Yeah,
totally. The new effort is I Want to See Pulaski at Night, and we're going to talk about some significance to the title. With your classical training, was the original plan as a musician to pursue a career in pop music, or was it to actually... Now, I don't know if that would have been your plan, your parents' plan, or whose plan, but was the plan to go into classical?
No, I was never pushed. I did the Suzuki method, and it was all by ear. It was pretty relaxed. I just did it every twice a week since I was four.
Wow.
So by the time I was eight, I had most of the technical facility I needed to do whatever I'm doing these days, more or less. And but there was never any, you know, I wasn't being groomed to be a professional musician or a classical musician or any kind of musician. Didn't occur to me till I was 15 or 16 that was even an option. And and then I kind of just stumbled into it. I was kind of more into, when I was younger, into more like, I guess you could, for lack of a better word, more complicated music than pop music. But I like the challenge, like the brevity of a pop song, like having to get it all in there within 3.5 minutes and make it all effective and melodic and good, you know.
And that is a question I would ask of, as you approach writing now, well, I imagine you've conquered whatever struggle there might have been between the disciplines of classical music and your, as I come to understand it, a really free approach that you take to songwriting.
Mm.
Did you have to, I guess, unlearn certain parts of that background to create songs the way you wanted to?
Not really. I was not... thankfully, I wasn't the best student. I didn't do my scales. I didn't follow the... And sometimes, sometimes classical musicians can be a bit paralyzed by the expectations of, like, you know, being in an orchestra and all this stuff. And I never really went in for that. I never really adapted well to that situation. So I think I was always meant to do what I'm doing now. I just was kind of in the wrong program for a while.
Plenty, cough is full, we're starting over. empty, half full. Cup runneth over, horns aplenty, coffers full. We're starting over. I write you a story, but it loses its thread. All of my witnesses keep turning up dead. No, I paint you a picture of Pulaski at night. Come out to Chicago, city of light. No, come back to Chicago, city of. You a picture, but it never looks right. Cause I fill in the shadows and block out the light. Oh no, I send you a postcard from Pulaski at night. Greetings from Chicago. There'll be three white horses, all in a line. There'll be three white horses in a line. Three white horses, when you go on that way, you will need somebody when you come to die. There'll be three white horses all in a line. Three white horses in a line. Three white horses. When you go on that way, you will need somebody when you come to die. It's not desperation that we're breeding, it's just a need we're feeding before you say goodbye. You're gonna miss me in the evenings. You know we've been needing somebody when you come to die.
You really like to have as pure an approach to an idea of a song and let it become. Try to give us a sense of how a song materializes in your head and heart and how it eventually becomes to you a song.
I get melodies every day popping into my head nonstop, and it's just kind of which ones get snagged on something. And then, you know, the best analogy is the river, like something obstructing the river. And if it's big enough and if it's strong enough, it'll start grabbing other things. Next thing you know, you've gathered yourself a song. And the business of sorting out what belongs in that song or not is kind of a lot of the work.
You performing today, it's really something that one will hear. These performances this afternoon, and they won't realize that it's just you and that you are able to with the tape looping and with playing and being able to think with clarity to the backing tracks that you create in the moment. You obviously have to have your mind operating on three or four different levels and making sure that you're keeping everything, including the vocals, on track, as it were, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, some people ask, isn't that a lot to think about what I'm doing? And yeah, it is. I think keeping my body occupied and part of my brain occupied with some of the choreography of it is actually liberating. You would think it would kind of clamp down on what you can do, but I find it really, there's so much that I can do. And it's not so grave if something goes awry. Like, I like to have to roll with it. And it keeps the song kind of in a state of inception, like when it was first written, and it keeps it kind of elastic and full of peril. Like, that's how I like it.
Well, you had origins as a musician as part of the Squirrel Nut Zippers, and it was, you know, part of the full-fledged, you know, swing scene. Was that anticipated by you, or did you just fall into that?
It just happened to be at the same time I was into hot jazz and And I wouldn't have fallen in with any other group than that group. They were kind of unique in that scene. Not really in the big band scene. They were kind of more like a scrappy jug band, almost klezmer band or calypso band or whatever. So they were really pretty unique. And I just, you know, I was in and out of that band and playing on the records, and I was never really a full-on member. But so I saw that swing thing coming and going, and I was like, I should keep maybe an arm's length from this whole thing.
Well, but you also saw with that band a real DIY, you know, independent push to success, because that wasn't a major label machine
initially. It
was a total education.
I remember being, you know, this is 96, 97, being on K-Rock here. Right. And like, you know.
And who'd have thunk it?
The big push, and then like MTV's out front of the Roxy or wherever we played. And that was a long time ago. But it was, I was like, oh, I see. It kind of takes an army to make this stuff happen. I mean, someone sees that something's a trend is happening, and then they put all this stuff behind it. It was a real education. You know, I was 23.
Try to keep it in the family. I know you know desolation. Coming home with your pockets full of sand. I know it's no vacation. Now you're plowing your tiny patch of land. In the nation under your command. Did you give it away? Well, sure. You give it away for free. What would you have us pay? I didn't know that your love was a commodity. What about appreciation? If that depends on your depth and density. And what about inflation? Your charts and graphs don't mean a thing to me. In your nation with its worthless currency. Scarcely breathe or see assured asphyxiation. Where the foxes and field mice make the dance, death by association. I swore I'd never take anyone there again. To this nation. nation under your command. This nation, nation under your command. This nation, no, nation under your command. Now when you wake up, night's falling, someone is by your side. Pull it together, darling, you're not alone. But when you break up, sky's falling, no one is by your side. Spoon it in laundry, darling, you're not alone. You're all alone, just to keep your lamp on. Keep a yellow lamp all trimmed and burning. Yes, I'm on my journey. I'm on my journey. Jesus gonna make my. It's a Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost religion. It's a Holy Ghost religion. Jesus gonna make my. Falling, someone is by your side. Pull it together, darling, you're not alone. But when you break up, sky's falling, no one is on your side. Spoon it in laundry, darling, you're all alone. Spoon it in laundry, darling, you're not alone.
You're going to be coming back and performing, and it's I guess it's becoming a tradition for you that you have. I hope I'm going to say this right. I'm going to give it my best shot. The Gazelle Guide Winter 2013 series.
Yeah, it's just
did I get the word right?
You did. Yeah, it's pretty close. It's a Dutch word that means more or less cozy. It's my version of a holiday show. There's just no, you know, Christmas tunes or anything, and it's just. I just try to create this sort of, both musically and visually, an ambiance of warm, glowing kind of...
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Sort of. I mean, it's...
I'll bring the chestnuts if you'd like.
Yeah, well, the what makes it the Gazelle Guide show, it has to be in a church or a synagogue, like San Francisco's in a synagogue, and this one's at...
Emmanuel Presbyterian.
Yeah, and I'm bringing all these horns that I play through, these Victrola horns, 50 or 60 of them, of varying sizes and spinning. And so it's kind of a spectacle, and it veers towards more of the instrumental stuff, but then I'm doing kind of the old-timey thing with Tift Merritt as well. And so it's become kind of a unique thing. I just kind of stumbled into it, you know.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating, as you mentioned, your audience doesn't come with expectations. This, however, does sound like it has warmth and heart, as most of your music does, but it also has a purpose, as you say, that it will fit within a holiday sensibility and at least the emotional sense that one should have around holidays. I don't sense any Black Friday gift purchasing attached to it, unless, of course, you've gone out and got a corporate title sponsor.
No, there's no corporate sponsor. No underwriting on this show, but you know, and some would argue that LA doesn't need, because of the lovely weather, doesn't need this, because that's what, you know, this came about when I was in Amsterdam and it was raining sideways in November, and I was noticing how they like have a really creative way of combating that awful weather. So I brought it to Chicago, you know,
for the cabin fever aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but it's become like, I don't know. I don't think there's any reason why I should keep it from.
Oh no. We need as much, and this is going to seem probably, improper, but we need as much positive artifice around the holidays as we can add to it. So I think it's as much needed here as anywhere.
Yeah.
To bring the vibe. Mm-hmm. So the vibe will be happening on December 19th and 20th at the Emmanuel Presbyterian. I want to see Pulaski at Night, an utterance from an acquaintance a long time ago. Pulaski at Night is the new effort out. We really appreciate you coming by and spending some time. Don't be a stranger now that you're living here. You right. Found it by yeah. yourself, so we expect to have you come back many times and share your music with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I'd love to.
It's Andrew Bird live on 88.5 KCSN.